up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, episode 61. Give them the sports finger for November 13th, 2013. Michelle, where were you on that one? You're supposed to flash them the sports finger. Come on, Michelle. All right, so we're going to be talking with Jesse Rainier of Power Splints today. He actually sent us a sample so that we could flash the sports finger, but Michelle's kind of sitting off camera, so she couldn't really do it. And it was the nice, bright orange one, so that's all right. Of course, I'm your host, Jeremy Jackson. With me today is...
George.
Brianna.
Morena.
Jocelyn.
Edith.
Lorena.
Aisha.
Marlin.
All right, and then we're missing a couple kids, and we have Michelle's typing stuff in, so Luma's taking pictures. Laura's over there checking our sound quality. Real quick about Jesse before we get there. He is the president and founder of Power Splint, which was founded earlier this year in 2013. He's a former college basketball player and a lifetime hooper. My background is, I should have read this earlier. It says his background's in accounting and real estate. All right, so we're going to move forward from there. Sorry, I had to adjust my chair. I was having to reach up to get the microphone. All right, so we got a couple things we're going to hit in the warm-up before we start talking about the sports finger. I showed the video yesterday. It's hovding.com. There's a new bicycle helmet they're making in Sweden. So I ride my bike to work, and, you know, I wear the Bell bicycle helmet, which works just fine for me. But there's this one that they made in Sweden. It costs about $500, but it's like an airbag. So your head is actually uncovered the whole time. It's just you have this big harness-looking thing around your neck. And then if you were to move to the left or the right really fast, you know, like as if you were falling off the bike, then it would instantly inflate and surround your whole head. So it's like an airbag. And in the ratings and testings, it's supposed to be better than a regular helmet. But my thing is, it's like $500. And then I think if you have to, if you ever use it, then you have to buy a new one. So I don't think I'm going to be getting a Hovding invisible bicycle helmet anytime soon, but it's a pretty cool idea. So if you guys want to, you know, save up, you can buy that for me for my birthday.
No? My birthday's okay. Sunday.
Yeah, okay. So there you go. Take all your birthday money that you get, Lorena. Save it up. My birthday's on St. Patrick's Day. All right. Okay. March 17th.
I knew that.
All right. So remember. All right. Don't forget about me. Save up your lunch money, birthday money, and buy me this invisible bicycle helmet. All right, real quick, George, what did you eat for breakfast this morning?
Nothing.
George, killing me, George. Bree?
Nothing.
Morena?
What you eat?
Nothing.
I ate some pancakes.
Pancakes, that'll work.
Yeah.
Michelle? Cereal. Edith?
Cereal.
Lorena?
Cereal.
I had some Trix and some orange juice and almost threw up, but it's okay. I didn't throw up.
It's all right, as long as we're not drinking coffee with no food, so.
Maybe tomorrow.
Marlon?
A little chip Aisha just gave me.
So basically nothing.
Oh, yeah, it was like this big. That's enough.
This is the one you dropped on the floor? Didn't tell her?
No, it was in my hand.
No? So yesterday when I was at home, my youngest Sam dropped a kicks. He has little like cereal kicks. Dropped it on the ground outside, stepped on it, and then picked it up off of his foot and ate it. Awesome.
Yep. So cute.
So that's what Marlon just did too. He just dropped it, stepped on it. So, okay, real quick, if you want to get CU opportunities, if you're an athletic trainer, you can get CU opportunities by going to ghats.org, becoming a member, and then inside the member area, it will allow you to fill out the course evaluation. You get about 3/4 of a credit for each podcast. And since we've done, this is 61, you could have, 45 credits that just from listening to these things while you're working out, while you're to and from work, those kind of things. So it's inexpensive. It's coming right up on the NATA reporting period. So you can earn the CEUs basically anywhere. You can pick and choose which ones you want to listen to, want to participate in. And then also it always makes the show more fun if we have people participating live. So, again, www.ghats, CU.org, and that's where you can earn your CU stuff. All right, without any more waiting, we're going to get to Mr. Rainier.
Mr. Rainier, give us some background, how you got to where you are now.
Sure. Well, it all started about 10 years ago, going through the story of how I invented this product. I've been a college, been a basketball player my whole life, high school, college, all the way through, and I still play regularly. And I remember the first time I dislocated a finger playing basketball about 10 years ago. And I did what people normally do. I went to a hospital, had to get a doctor to put it back in place. It's not a pleasant procedure, to be sure. But then it happened again to the same finger. And I noticed, you know, that the tendon seemed to be weaker and that the injury just kept reoccurring. And then I actually dislocated the other pinky finger on my other hand. And so I didn't want to have to stop playing basketball. I wanted to find a way to protect my finger, still be able to play, but at the same point not interfere with being able to shoot, dribble, pass, catch, all those actions. So I started trying buddy taping, but I found that I couldn't play with buddy tape. Taping, you know, two fingers together, it's really hard to control the ball when you dribble or shoot. It's just getting in the way. And then also, you know, if people slam down on your hand and you're wearing buddy tape, it offers some protection, but not really enough. I still got re-injured. And so it was getting really bad, and I was getting to the point where either I was going to have to stop playing basketball, which I didn't want to have to do, or I was going to have to come up with something. So I started researching online, trying to find any sort of splint that would work. I tried medical splints, regular splints. You know, medical splints are thin aluminum. Somebody strikes down in your hand, it bends. And so it wasn't protecting my finger, plus those are bulky and interfering as well. So I decided I was going to have to try and invent something myself. So I was living in Manhattan at this point in time, which is where I am right now. And I went to an iron welder in the East Village, and I said to the guy, can you take a piece of metal about 2.5-3 inches long, put a slight curve in it, and make it pretty thin, and cut it for me? And he did. He made two of those, and I wrapped it in foam and tape, and I started playing basketball wearing that, and sure enough, it worked. When I did get hit on the finger, it was protected. I didn't have to buddy tape, so my fingers weren't taped together. And I could do everything normally. The only thing that was on the bottom of my finger was athletic tape, which didn't really interfere. Now, I didn't have full finger flexibility at that point in time. But that's really how I came up with the raw power splint. And then I got motivated by Shark Tank, if any of you have seen that show. And I realized that I had something that other people needed. And being a sports guy my whole life, what I also like about power splints is I can give something back to athletes. Sports has done so much for me, taught me motivation and inspiration. I've been so inspired by so many athletes, like Michael Jordan was my favorite, Allen Iverson, people like that, Donovan McNabb. And so I like being able to give back to sports as well. And so I developed the power splint. I released it as an actual product in early 2013. Now I have a newer model of it that's coming out in early 2014, which I think is an even better product. So that is the long story of it.
All right, so lifetime hooper, what does that mean? Are you playing any quote-unquote old man leagues right now or adult leagues, that kind of thing? Or
I play in a couple leagues. It's not too many old men, plenty of young 20s. I'm 38 right now, so I can't keep up with those guys anymore. My knees won't handle it. But yeah, I play actually in leagues, and I play pickup ball. I'm a Knicks season ticket holder as well. I'll be actually at the Knicks and Pacers tonight. So yeah, I love basketball, but I'm also a huge NFL fan. I have some tickets to Phillies games every year. So yeah, big sports guy.
All right, so you've been talking about these things being because of basketball. I believe I saw on Twitter you were sending some of your power splints to the Eagles. Is that right?
That's right. I've actually just recently started sending some around to some different athletes for them to test out. It's not always easy to reach them, of course. And actually, in early January, once the new power splint is released, I'm going to be sending samples out to every pro athletic trainer, MLB, NFL, NBA, everyone, because I think that this is something that they can actually wear in games. I see athletes, just to give an example, Kevin Garnett wears something really funky on his finger. It looks like it's very obtrusive. Last year, Ray Felton, the Knicks starting point guard, fractured a pinky finger. I thought to myself, man, he could really use a power splint because he was buddy taping. I just can't imagine an NBA player buddy taping the fingers together and being able to play at that level without interference. So I'm hoping that in 2014, once I've sent some of these samples out, that we'll start to see power splits in some of the pro leagues. I do already have high school and college athletes that have worn it in baseball, softball, lacrosse, certainly basketball and football. My sales are starting to pick up right now, actually, as basketball season is starting to take effect. And I see that sort of rush from basketball players.
All right, so obviously, you know, you're kind of biased on your product, but since you sent us some samples, I had Aisha and Michelle wear them around while we were working in class yesterday, so we were actually doing stuff. So I'm gonna ask them real quick for their opinion. I didn't tell y'all about this before, but what do you guys think, Aisha, Michelle? Did it feel like it kept your fingers still? Did you feel like it was in the way? I mean, obviously, you didn't have a sprained finger. You didn't have a jammed finger or anything like that. So it wasn't 100% doing what it was supposed to be doing, but you were wearing it while you were working. So what are your thoughts, Aisha?
Well, I think it did support my finger. Like, it was straight, like, completely straight. But, like, I tried to not use it because it was occupied with the thingy on it.
So it was just awkward having it on there because you're not used to it?
Yeah. All right. Other than that, it would help if I really
Have you ever had your fingers buddy taped?
Yeah.
All right. Can you kind of compare those two for us?
The one that I had on yesterday is better because it's like an actual thing instead of just like, you know, two pieces of tape.
So you felt like it was a lot more comfortable, a lot more supportive?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Because the other one, I still kept jamming my freaking finger all the time and it hurt more and more.
All right, Michelle, why don't you slide over and use Edith's mic, or Edith, turn that towards Michelle there. All right, Michelle's actually using it while she is typing up in the show notes right now. So, Michelle, tell us what you think.
I think it's better than buddy taping, because in buddy taping, like, two of your fingers are occupied, and it's like, it feels really weird. And it's like, you can't do anything with either of the fingers. But on this one, it's like, not that intrusive. Like, I can still type, I guess.
All right, and I'm not sure if that one's too big for your finger or not. Mm-hmm. All right, so right there, well, I'm going to ask you, Mr. Rainier, on the power splint, Michelle, how tall are you?
4'10".
4'10". All right, so I think she has on the orange one, which I think was the large one. Do you have them color-coded by size or?
So right now the original power splint is available in two sizes, medium, which is basically for adult pinky fingers, or children over 12, their pinky fingers. And then the large size, which is for the other the other three fingers, essentially. Power splint does not work for thumbs. It's available in three colors, black, dark blue, or orange, so it's not color-coded for size.
Okay. So I'd have to put them up next to each other to know which one she has on. But all right, so the sizing chart, that's on the packaging, right?
Yes, it is. So basically, if your finger goes up to, sorry, one second, let me get this.
And I did notice that you have on your finger.
Just to show you, this is the back of the packaging right there. So if your finger is between 2.5 to 3.5 inches, the medium size will work. If it's 3.5 inches or above, the large size will work. And one thing I wanted to point out that I should have mentioned earlier is that, and I put one on right now here. If you can see the finger flexibility, this is the medium size on my pinky finger. You do have to tape it properly. You want to use two thin strips of tape, which will give it a firm grip but allow the maximum amount of flexibility. The seated back will actually lift up off the back of the finger a little bit, which allows a good amount of flexibility, almost full flexibility. And then, of course, if you can hit on top of the finger or if you jam into the finger, it acts as a buffer and a shock absorber. But again, the bottom of the finger is just athletic tape, so it doesn't really be there. But the power splint really can't be bent. Even if, you know, Ray Lewis were to slam down on your finger, the power splint's not going to give in. So that's the way it was designed. And then the rubber and foam cover allows it to be safe. It's like pushy and soft. So even if you hit somebody in a game, like on the head,
why is the power splint better than buddy tape?
Well, I would say like we were talking about earlier, you know, buddy tape is taping two fingers together, so it makes it harder to control the ball. Like if you're setting a volleyball or throwing a football or catching a basketball or dribbling. So it's just less interference. Now, if you wanted to wear a power splint and buddy tape, I suppose you could do that. I don't really see the necessity for it. And also, buddy tape, it does not offer as much protection, because if somebody slams down on your hand, the buddy tape will help because it's supported by another finger that isn't weakened, but that finger can still be damaged. The power splint, again, isn't going to bend, isn't going to give in, so it offers better protection with less interference.
All right, so I forgot to mention earlier, I jumped right into the warm-up and all that stuff, but Aisha is on Twitter, so Mr. Rendier, if you got anything you want Aisha to tweet out on via my Twitter account, you can say, hey, Aisha, tweet that. Or, I'm just kidding, you could say something like that, but she's pretty good about tweeting stuff. And real quick, if you want to tag him in any of this, it's PowerSplint1, is that right?
PowerSplint1, the number one.
PowerSplint1.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so if you want to, when you're tweeting any of that, you can tag, or not tag, whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mention.
Yeah, mention. I didn't know, I wasn't sure if you're supposed to say you can at somebody, because that sounds really dumb, but you can say mention, right?
Yeah.
There you go. All right, so you can mention him in those tweets. Okay. All right, so where were we back in? Now we are actually...
Why did you decide to have straps of some sort? I can't see.
Why did you not?
It's because the thing's in a way.
So that was some of the initial feedback I had, because I sent samples out to athletic trainers like Jeremy, and one of the things they said was, they said two things. I wish it had protection on the side of the finger, and, did you consider putting straps onto that? So that was actually, I'm going to show you this now, I hope you can see, that was actually the two improvements I made to the new PowerSling. Now, this is a rough prototype, it's not the finished model, and this is in the blue color so you can see, but what this is right here is Velcro straps that wrap around. And so I'm going to put this on right now. The back.
Oh, man.
I'm not sure if you can hear this, Jesse. It's dropping the audio.
Is that okay?
It's kind of cutting. I mean, I can kind of see the video is jumpy, but.
I like that splint, by the way.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. And you can see the video?
Yeah.
So the back Velcro doesn't stretch at all, but the front Velcro does stretch. So this actually offers even more finger flexibility. And if you notice the side right here, it comes down across the side of fingers. So a lot of people do get injuries from side impact. And although the original PowerSlim offers some protection against it, this new PowerSlim 2014 offers a lot more protection against it. And it offers even more finger flexibility. So I think it's definitely a better product. And if an athlete wanted to also use athletic tape, they could as additional support. So that's some different ways it can be used. And the Velcro is adjustable, so you can... different ways to depending on the length of your finger and whatnot. So this will be the final and newer model for 2014 that we'll be signing up all the trainers.
All right, gotcha. So there are definitely some improvements. That's why you didn't include straps at first. But with those, you might have said it when you were just kind of cutting in and out. Are those Velcro straps permanently attached, or is it something you can choose to put on there?
The Velcro straps are permanently attached. If somebody wants to take them off and then just use athletic tape, they could just simply cut the Velcro off and then just use athletic tape like on the original PowerSlim. Although I do think Velcro, I'm sure the Velcro works a lot better. I've used it myself. I had other athletes test it out in different sports, and the results prefer it, although the original is really good as well. So depends on your case, but I'll keep both active on the market so people have a choice.
Gotcha.
What are some of the myths or misconceptions about finger injuries?
Well, first thing I'd point out is that my top seller is definitely the medium, and when I ask customers why it it's almost always for pinky fingers. I'd say pinky fingers account for about 2/3 to 3/4 of my sales. So that's obviously the smallest finger and the most easily injured one. There are so many different ways to injure a finger. You know, you can jam it into tendons, dislocate, break bones. Myth about finger injuries. I would say that it happens a lot more than people realize. Even people that are out there playing without any tape or anything on, a lot of them have crooked fingers. Marcellus Wiley is a great example, the host of ESPN Sports Nation. If you look up a picture of him on the internet, you'll see he has a very crooked finger on the other thing. It's his left hand from playing in the NFL. And that was just the way he used to play that way every game. So maybe the myth is that you don't need to protect fingers when they're weakened, but I certainly think one other thing I'd like to add is that I think my product has a mental aspect to it as well. I think that I know that before I started using this, when I was playing basketball, I was trying not to get injured. I was so timid about, you know, reaching in or catching the ball the right way. I was always thinking about it, trying to avoid that finger injury. And I think when you have a product like Arsenal as opposed to bunny taping, you can get back to being an aggressive player and worry about it less because you know you've got some good protection on your finger.
All right, so what if someone were to wear two fingers, say you were to jam your, I don't know, your pinky and your ring finger, have you ever had to wear two on the same hand?
I've tested it out that way and done pretty much that with, you know, the ring finger and then one on the pinky. And to be honest, you could wear it on all four of your non-thumb fingers and I think still be able to play your sport. I mean, that might look a little funny to have all four fingers that way. But you should still be able to play your sport normally without interference on the ball control.
Yeah, I've never seen anybody have both, you know, all four fingers buddy taped anyways. And so, I mean, I've seen, you know, you see volleyball players that put tape around all parts of their fingers, but it may be partly for visibility when they're doing their, you know, whatever they're doing. They always hold up two fingers or three fingers for whoever's hitting or whoever's up or down or whatever. But
there are what's called neoprene sleeves that go, you know, in the middle of the finger. It's really just sort of fabric. There's no rigid support to it. It offers a little support, and it might provide just some comfort on the finger. And I think a lot of volleyball players use those, but if you really want to protect a finger, that's not really going to do the job too well.
All right.
What are some of the obstacles you overcame to produce and sell this product?
The biggest obstacle I had to overcome was the fact that people didn't know an athletic finger guard existed. And so people were automatically just taping their fingers or buddy taping or not doing anything or maybe using one of those neoprene sleeves or maybe they were trying the medical aluminum splints that bend very easily that don't offer the high impact resistance a power splint does. So the biggest obstacle was getting people to know that there was now such thing on the market as an athletic finger guard. And I've only been selling the product for about 10 months now. And so I'm still trying to overcome that a little bit and getting the word out there more. But athletic trainers have been great in helping me spread that word. And then once I launch the new 2014 PowerSplint on the market, I'm going to have a pretty big advertising campaign behind it. And so get it out even more. But that was my biggest challenge. It was a new product people didn't know existed.
All right, so is there – I looked on the website, and from what I saw, there was the PowerSplints, and then you have – like tape, scissors, and I think some tape spray or tape removal spray on your products that you sell because it's kind of all works together. Is there plans for anything other than the finger splints?
Well, yeah, I do sell on the website. One of the items is called a combo pack because you do need, for the older power splint, the original model, the, you know, tape, scissors, I sell that as a combo pack and also a little carrying pouch around, so it's easy. And I've sold a bunch of those as well. It's pretty popular. As far as future products, I think I always in life take things one step at a time. So part of who helped me design this PowerSplint was an engineering friend I had named Lou. And we are potentially working on a version for thumbs. I think that'll be a while down the road. And also maybe some sort of joint support, finger joint support for everyday use, not necessarily for athletes. I've had one interesting story was a mailman approached me about this and said, you know, I'm always, when I open all these doors, sometimes I jam fingers and I don't need it to throw a football, but I need it just in everyday use. So we might do a smaller version of a power splint for everyday use down the road. But I want to take things one step at a time and make power splint athletic finger guard the best it can be before I would move on to something else.
All right, so you have a full-time job, and you talked about Shark Tank and, you know, that kind of thing. Your full-time job is real estate. How much time do you have to invest into creating, designing, marketing the power splint right now?
Right. I do work full-time in New York City. I own and manage a brokerage called DSA Realty. It's doing really well, and I love that. That's my background. But I still put a lot of time in power splint outside of DSA. And one thing about real estate you have to be good at is marketing. And so I already have a background in that. And so I use my real estate skills to help market power splint as well. It certainly is a lot of hours, but I do have support as well. I have people that help me assemble them. I have my engineering friend, Lou, I mentioned earlier, who helped me design it and improve it. I also have people help me with, you know, the accounting and the sales and things like that. And I think my team will grow as well as the product gets bigger. It's only about 10 months old right now, so it's got a long ways to go.
All right, so in is kind of putting you on the spot there. Hopefully you got a good answer for this. But in the tweet that I sent out yesterday, I mentioned there was possibly a free sample, because that's actually how I got ours. You sent out a free sample, you know, on Twitter. You had that. Do you have any, you know, like I said, I didn't check with you beforehand, so I apologize if this is putting you on the spot, but you have any information about free samples or that kind of thing?
I was expecting that. I was hoping you would ask. So I already have a long list of athletic trainers that I've sent free samples to. And then I've also had a lot of, from those samples, a lot of trainers ordered, you know, many for their various teams and athletes and whatnot. So those trainers I already have are already going to get free samples of the new power splint in early 2014. Any ATs that are not yet on my list, please send an email to info@powersplint.com and put your mailing address in there, and I will add you to the list. And then in early 2014, I'll be sending out a bunch of new free samples to everybody. So, yeah, thanks for mentioning that, Jeremy. Appreciate it.
Sure thing. All right, so you said your background in real estate helps you with the marketing. Does it also help you with sales, like if you have to approach somebody about that? Because I assume when real estate, you probably started by selling, you know, as a realtor where you show people houses. How do you think that helped you out?
Sure. Well, yeah, I started my real estate career and where I still am today in Manhattan. I've been renting and selling apartments. And that absolutely helps with the sales. Because power splint just an athletic finger guard is a new type of product, there is some sales business, but you have to explain to people exactly how it works, explain to them, you know, a lot how to tape properly. That's why I have pictures of it and a video on the website so that they use the product the right way. Sales is an important part to get the word out there and then be able to explain it properly. And one thing I've learned about sales in both real estate and the sports product world is that you always want to keep it simple. You always want to not make things long explanations or complicated explanations or use big words or any of that. Just keep things really simple so that anyone can understand. Because you have to assume if I'm selling somebody an apartment that they're probably a doctor or something, or they're a teacher. They don't know real estate, and I shouldn't expect them to. And if we're out there selling athletic finger guards, we might be selling them to athletes, but those aren't trainers or doctors or physicians where they are going to have a lot of knowledge to start with. So you have to keep things simple so that's easy for everybody to understand. I think that helps any product or service sell. People can easily understand what you're talking about.
All right, I get you. You know, as an athletic trainer, it's easier for me to tell somebody what to do. You know, say, all right, we're going to do these exercises and, you know, come back and see me tomorrow. But I often have, I've learned through the years, and especially through doing this podcast, that I have to explain things and then repeat them and then stop and say, do you have any questions? Or even just ask, all right, explain to me what I told you to do, because like you just said, it's easy for me to make it more complicated, or it's simple for me, but that's because I've been doing this for so long. So I need to make sure it's simple for the people that I'm serving. So that's a good reminder for me.
Sure. I think it's important to have things written down. You know, telling somebody, people learn in different ways. Some people learn visually the best. Some people learn audio the best from hearing things. And some people learn the best just from doing things. And so I think it's important if you're going to tell them that it should also be written down, simple, maybe bullet point instructions, so that they can refer back to it if they forget a certain part of the step, or maybe with your training, you know, one of the exercises and whatnot. But yeah, I always do think it's good to keep it simple and get it in writing so people can refer back to the instructions.
Very good. Very good.
Where can someone find out more?
I'm sorry?
Where can someone find out more?
Oh, okay. Yeah, thanks for asking. So right now I sell PowerSplint on the website, powersplint.com. I'm actually working with a friend of mine down in Florida who's an online marketing genius to help me redesign the website. Also, I sell the product a lot. Actually, over half my sales are from Amazon. People love Amazon, Amazon Prime, free shipping, very easy. So I'm definitely one of the top selling splints on Amazon. I'm going to be coming out with a new upgraded video for the new Power Splint as well in early 2014. But the website has an FAQ section and a history of the product and pictures. And so powersplint.com is really the best place to go for all of that. But we also have a 24-hour call-in line. And then we have email, just info@powersplint.com. And one of us will get back answering the questions that way.
All right, so you did a radio spot in for the guy in LA. So you're in New York, right?
Yes.
And there's a weekend warrior doctor that does a show in LA.
Yep.
Tell me about one, how you kind of got hooked up there, and then what became of that interview? How did that shape up for you?
Sure. Well, I reached out to him via Twitter, social media. You know, you gotta be good at these days to understand it. It's just so important. And, I found him on Twitter, and he was having a discussion about, I forget who, some injury, somebody that had injured their finger, and he was talking about buddy tape, and I said, well, there might be a better way, and he got in touch, and we talked, and then he said, you know, would you want to come on and do maybe a 5-minute interview on ESPN LA, and I said, of course, and I'll tell you that after that interview, I got just a ton of orders from California, Los Angeles area. So it was great for me in that aspect, and it helped get the word out there a little bit. That was Dr. Robert Clapper. He's a great guy out in Los Angeles.
All right, so have you had any, or in the interview he talked about Kim Kardashian's going to get it and put some diamonds on. You had any orders from people with bling on your power splint there?
I haven't yet. That was Dr. Clapper's suggestion, was to make it really stylish, so one of the Kardashians would want to wear it to a premiere of some kind or on a red carpet, and that would be good exposure for it. So maybe someday we'll personalize them. People can get their favorite teams put on them. We'll do some jewel encrusted one. We'll get the Kardashians or Kanye or somebody to promote it. But I guess that'll be done for us.
That'd be pretty sweet if you get the your team put on it. I know they have the football gloves where you put your hands together and it makes the eagle or whatever, because we're the Eagles. So that'd be pretty sweet if we had the PHS or the eagle on the side of our green power splints.
Sure.
One thing at a time, though, right?
Can I ask you guys a question?
Sure.
Sure. So how often do you come across finger injuries, and what do you see that makes them occur the most? You know, do you see athletes kind of not carefully reaching in if they're trying to strip a football or basketball, or where do you guys see them occur?
Are you talking more to the students or more to me?
Anybody.
All right, let's see what you guys have to say first. How many, you all know how to buddy tape fingers, right?
Yes.
All right, so how often have you done that either in practice, not just you learning how to do it, but how often have you done it for the athletes?
It's mostly basketball.
You do it a lot in basketball?
Yeah, sometimes football.
All right, so I mean, would you say that every day at practice you were taping one, or maybe every other day you were taping one person?
Yeah, maybe every other day. But I know a lot of basketball players go for it.
A lot of basketball players? Yeah. Anybody else?
Reaching in is the main way, trying to strip a ball away, and they hit an elbow or they just extend the finger wrong. Also, a lot of people catch the ball the wrong way.
Yeah, that's what I feel is the probably one of the, or at least the way I do it most is when I'm either catching the ball or catching the football. You know, you just, your finger isn't, your hand's not open wide enough or whatever it is, but catching is usually how I injure mine, so.
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that, you know, once these finger injuries happen, I mean, you know, the finger will recover, you rehabilitate it, but a lot of times it happens easier again, and I know from my own personal experience that's what happened with my pinky fingers. It just, the finger kept weakening and weakening, and it was so easy to happen, and a lot of people re-jam the same fingers. You know, they can't get out of a bad habit of reaching in a certain way or catching a certain way, and so it just keeps happening again. But I think it is smart for an athlete that has a weakened finger like that to wear protection, and again, it gives them confidence to play their sport better if they're more confident that they're not going to deal with another finger injury.
I agree. I like that you threw the rehab in there, because I think that's a real important part. Is a lot of people don't do anything but just try and tape it or whatever. But you know, in rehab for a sprained finger is pretty simple. You just find a tennis ball or like a squeezy stress ball, and you're just squeezing that, you know, Play-Doh or Silly Putty, something like that, and you just kind of work in that for, you know, you can do that on and off throughout the day, and it's just going to help make those stronger, move those muscles, get out some of the swelling, and then wearing the splint to help avoid further injury.
Jeremy, do you teach some of your athletes how to prevent finger injuries from happening, you know, how to swipe at a football, how to catch a basketball or football so injuries are less likely to occur to the fingers? Is that part of what a trainer would do?
Some of them we don't. I don't know if that's just because I haven't, but, you know, most of the time I really tried to leave coaching to the coaches, you know, so I'll, if they're injured, I'll teach them whatever in the athletic training room, but I would say part of it is because of a lack of knowledge on my part, but the biggest part is it's not necessarily, I would say, part of my role, you know, to teach them that to begin with. And you know, if I feel more confident, then I can do it in the athletic training room whenever they get injured. So what do you got for me there?
You're right. It might come back more to a coach. Just like in football, you know, coaches teach you how to tackle properly so you don't injure your spinal cord or something, or you're less likely to separate your shoulder. And I'll tell you, I still play basketball a lot. I see people swiping at the ball so freely, and I'm thinking to myself, I should say something to them, like, you know, don't have your fingers in a locked position when you're doing that. You're more likely to jam or dislocate something. So I think coaches do have some responsibility to teach proper mechanics so that injuries of all various types are less likely to occur. So you're right, it might be more the coach than the trainer.
All right, so, you know, like I said, I really am not an expert on swiping technique. So you said, well, one of the things that you've found, personal experience, is making sure your fingers aren't fully extended or in the locked position when you're swiping or reaching for the ball.
Yeah. I should have mentioned that earlier, but part of when I designed Power Splint, and this is with the 2013 and 2014 design, I'm going to hold up one right here if you can see it, but it's curved inside, and it's curved, I guess you can see it better that way, so that the finger isn't in a locked position when it's on top. Because if the finger is straight and you're swiping at things, I think you're a lot more likely to jam it or dislocate. So the Power Splint, when I designed it, has a natural curvature so that the finger isn't in a locked position when you're wearing it. And I think that alone, from my studies and testing, has shown that it is less likely to get injured just because of that. Before the high impact resistance even takes effect.
All right, we'll see. I always learn something. So we got people with jammed fingers. Maybe I can begin to teach them that. And then now that we've done the interview, I can actually use the splints on students, or especially now that basketball is coming up, we got a big, real big tournament. So I'm sure we'll have plenty of jam fingers, and some of these kids will be helping out with that. So if you guys see someone with a sprained, jammed finger, then let me know, and then we can try and put the power splint on them, see if they how they do throughout the game, see how they like it. So,
can I ask you a question off the topic of fingers?
Sure.
All right. So, my other issue as a basketball player from playing on, you know, outdoor courts all my life is eventually, like I said earlier, I'm 38 now, the knees start to wear down. And I certainly, you know, ice my knees a lot. And I one trick that I was told is to take ibuprofen or some sort of anti-inflammatory before going out and playing basketball because it makes it easier on your knees. And I'd started doing that maybe 2 years ago, and I found it actually works. Have you heard of this before?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that. Last week we talked to Joshua Stone, and on Twitter he's Josh Stone ATC, and he has a pretty interesting theory about ice and anti-inflammatories, and he would be definitely better to talk to about all of the science, and because he does a lot of research about it. But the inflammation is the way that the body protects and takes care of those joints, and personally I don't believe in the pumping of anti-inflammatories, because I think along the lines of what Josh was telling us last week, that, you know, if you do the rehab and that kind of thing, then it's going to help repair and prevent those rather than trying to just alleviate some of the pain. And he was saying, you know, if it's something that's chronic, then using the exercise and the rehab rather than trying to just mask the pain with ice is going to be provide you with better results in the long run. And so, I mean, you know, with the ibuprofen or the anti-inflammatories, some of them for sure are a placebo effect, which means that just because you've been doing it, you believe it works. And so when you believe it, it, you know, in your mind, then it has an effect on the rest of your body. So I'm not saying I have solid proof that it doesn't work, but, you know, you're asking my opinion, and in my opinion, I try to avoid anti-inflammatories unless it's prescribed by the doctor for an injury or surgery or something like that. So,
right, and he and I have gotten some physical therapy in the past, and one of the things his therapist told me was, you know, lifting some weights is important, strengthening the quads, strengthening the hamstrings, strengthening the calves, things like that help to alleviate, you know, chronic knee issues. Did the guy you had on last week talk about weightlifting with respect to that?
Yeah, he was. That's one of the keys he was saying there was active motion, and so he wasn't necessarily saying weight lifting, but well, he said light resistance through the range of motion. So, you know, maybe if you're using bands to do knee extensions or, you know, lightweight leg presses, that kind of thing. So it's lightweight through that while you're working through the initial injury, and then strengthening. You know, it's important to have the correct form there. And so that's more or less right along the lines of what he was talking about.
Right. They told me that also. You don't want to be doing heavy weights when you've got chronic knee issues because it can actually make it worse. You have to start light, maybe add 5 pounds a week or something like that to strengthen up. So that was good advice, and I've been doing all that, and it has gotten a little better.
And then another thing is if you're playing basketball all the time, you may switch it up, play tennis for a little while because and people who play the same sport all the time, there's a lot more chronic injuries because, you know, you're continually doing the same motion and tearing it, you know, causing pressure and harm in the same way. So just by switching it up, you may be a little sore from not playing tennis or golf or whatever it is for a while, but it may give your body a little stimulus to grow and also some relief from that same motion all the time.
Sure, that makes sense.
So, all right, well, do you have any more questions? It is about time for us to wrap it up so these kids can go to lunch because apparently nobody ate breakfast.
I did.
So, Jesse, you got anything else for them?
Just last question. Why did you guys decide to go into this field? Where did the passion for that come from? I think it's great helping athletes, and certainly seems like a fun career. why did you decide to go into the training field? Athletic training?
Me, it was, I just kind of really fell into it. I think, you know, God put me in the right place at the right time, because when I was an eighth grader, they said, all right, you can fill out an application to be an athletic trainer. I didn't know what it was, so I went and filled it out, and then I did the interview, and I became an athletic trainer in high school. I was one for 4 years, and then I got a full scholarship to Houston Baptist University to pay for everything, my food and my books, so that was a pretty good deal. So I was an athletic trainer there, and then, you know, like I said, it just kind of, it wasn't like I grew up in, oh, this is what I want to do, but one of my favorite subjects that I've ever taken is anatomy and physiology. And so this, you know, I love sports, I love anatomy, and so putting those two together, it works pretty good for me. But this class is Sports Medicine 1, so we'll go real quick. We'll start off with George here, but what do you guys hope to get out of this course, or what do you plan to do later that you think this course will help you with?
Well, my mom, she's a nurse at MD Anderson, and I'd like, sometimes she goes out to some sports, and I've seen people out there donating blood and stuff, so whenever I found out about sports medicine in my intermediate school, I signed up and thought it was cool.
Just because you've seen it in your mom, is something you thought you might want to do later?
Yeah.
All right. Bree, you have anything? No? Marina? All right, Jocelyn? Nothing? I thought you told me you wanted to be a doctor.
Can I do?
Or something in the medical field.
It's an OBGYN.
Oh, you want to be an OBGYN? So you're just kind of taking this to get a little bit of intro?
Yeah.
All right, Michelle doesn't have a mic in front of her. Edith?
For her resume.
Just the same thing as George.
Because your mom works at a health clinic, so it's something that interests you?
Yeah.
Aisha?
Okay,
can always count on Aisha.
Yeah.
I love Aisha.
I found out about this in eighth grade whenever y'all came and did the little, y'all came to Jackson and y'all did the, I don't know, y'all was showing us how to tape an ankle or something like mm-hmm. that. And I wanted to do it freshman year, like I wanted to sign up for it for freshman year, but I didn't because I thought I was going to be too late to do it. And then I didn't come here sophomore year. And then I've always wanted to do it because, like, I like helping people out and, like, seeing, it's cool seeing, like, y'all, whenever I would go to the football games and somebody get hurt, well, that's not cool, but, you know, seeing y'all out there helping them and stuff, like, that's, I think that's pretty cool. I always wanted to do it and, like, you know, I want to be a physical therapist when I get older, and so this will help me a lot for whenever I do go to college and stuff.
Physical therapy is very similar to what we do in athletic training, very similar. Marlon, you got anything? All right, and then so on that same subject, we have last week one of our students just told me that she's going to Blinn Junior College to be a student athletic trainer there. So this is my 10th year as a professional, as a teacher and athletic trainer, and this is my first student that I know of that's going to college to be an athletic trainer. So it's pretty exciting for me. And then in the same week, I found out that one of our former athletes here. She has kind of been in contact with me, and she's going to Texas A&M, and she is also in the introductory part to the student athletic training program there at Texas A&M. So, you know, for 9 years, I haven't had anybody continue on the career, but, you know, all of a sudden we have two people that are coming from here that are really interested in being athletic trainers after this. And so it's really cool for me as a teacher to be able to share and teach this stuff with them. So, but that's about all I have to answer that. So,
great, thanks. I think it's a great field. My first job was sitting in an accounting office 40 hours a week, trapped at the desk, which I hated. So, being a trainer, athletic trainer, sounds like a lot more fun than that. Being outside, different hours, a lot more exciting than accounting.
Yeah, well, for some people it's numbers, for some people it's blood and broken bones. So, you know. All right, well, you heard George's phone going off there. That's the reminder alarm for us to kind of wrap things up. So, Jocelyn, why don't you close it out?
We want to thank the people who helped make this broadcast possible. G Hats for sponsoring CEU Opportunities, Pasadena ISD Education Foundation, and Pasadena Health Center.
Where Lorena's mom works.
And she's watching right now.
Is she?
Yeah.
Hi, Lorena's mom. All right, so if you want to check out our website, which I think is where Lorena's mom went to go view it, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, and then she click slash live or whatever, the live stream. So again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. That's where this interview will be hosted or posted later on. It'll also be on Ustream and YouTube, so you can check it out there. You can always join in the conversation almost every Wednesday, except for next week we're off because of Thanksgiving.
Follow us on Twitter at PHS Sports Med, Google Plus Sports Medicine Broadcast, and Facebook.com PHS Athletic Training.
All right, again, so sportsmedicinebroadcast.com has links to all those if you want to check us out there. And for Jeremy,
George,
Brianna,
Edith,
Lorena,
Aisha,
Marlin,
and Mr. Jesse Rainier from powersplints.com, that's a wrap.